Well, did you bring your page-turner fingers tonight? Okay, good. We're going to start out in Numbers 31. Just start in a different place. So many times, you know, we just start in the New Testament. Well, we're just going to look at something, approaching it from the old first. Numbers 31. This is a section after the Israelites had gone to battle against the Midianites. Beginning in verse 20, I want to read through 23. It says, "Purify every garment, everything made of leather, everything woven of goat's hair, and everything made of wood." Then Eleazar the priest said to the men of war who had gone to the battle, "This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord commanded Moses. Only the gold, the silver, the bronze, the iron, the tin, and the lead, everything that can endure fire, you shall put through the fire, and it shall be clean, and it shall be purified with the water of purification. But all that cannot endure fire, you shall put through water." And I'm not a scholar to know if this is an actual type and shadow or not, to be able to say that officially. We hear that a lot about how in the Old Testament there are types and shadows of the things in the New. But for my purposes tonight, I'm just going to believe God that this is a type and a shadow, and I'm just going to call it that. And if I'm seminarily wrong, well then, I'll just leave that to the one who's been there to judge. But he's talking about all the things that were taken in battle, all the spoils that were brought in from the battle. They needed to be cleansed. They needed to be purified. And they were cleansed in two different ways. They were cleansed with water and with fire. And there were some things that couldn't take the fire. The cloth, you know, the things made of wood, they couldn't take the fire. The fire will just literally destroy them. So they could only be cleansed with water. But the other things, the gold and the silver and the bronze, all the metal stuff that can take the fire, the heavy, the good stuff that can endure the heat, well, you not only had to wash it with water, but you had to cleanse it with fire both, so that it would be clean. And I just see this as an example of what Jesus has done for us. We are his spoils of war because he went to war against the devil and he has taken captive those that the devil had captive. And that's you and me. And if we have received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, well then we are part of those spoils of war. And Jesus, in order for us to be useful then, to be used by God, need to be cleansed. We need to be cleansed with water and with fire. We need to be cleansed on the inside and on the outside. And Jesus has taken care of that. In the scriptures, we know from several scriptures that the water represents the word of God. Let's go to John 15, chapter 15, verse 3 to start with. We're just going to do a lot of flipping. Jesus, this is a familiar scripture. Jesus told the disciples, he says, "You're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you." So here we see that the word is involved in cleaning us and getting us clean. Ephesians 5:26. Take a look there. This is talking about husbands and wives, or Jesus in the church, whichever way you want to apply it. But verse 26 says that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Here again, the word of God is a type of washing to cleanse us, to clean us of our sin and all those things that pollute us. And then let's just keep going over a little bit farther to the book of Titus. And we're going to look in chapter 3, verse 5. It says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." So here we even see that regeneration, being born again, is that initial stage of washing, that washing with the word and being born again. It's that cleansing. It's that it's a renewing, because we're actually born over. We get given a brand new spirit, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's a trade-in for our dead spirit. It's not just merely getting the dirt off. But even that regeneration here is considered a washing. It's a type of cleansing from the Word of God. Now, the fire, many times we see, is relative to the Spirit of God. We're looking at both of these kinds of cleansing, water and fire. And let's go to Acts chapter 2, familiar scripture, dealing with the Spirit. These are all things that bring cleansing into our life. Acts chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. This is the account of when the Holy Spirit was received by the disciples after Jesus was taken into heaven. It said, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is the entrance of the fire. This is the beginning of the fire in their lives that can work cleansing. Now, we know that the Holy Spirit also brings power and that type of thing, but it also is a cleansing. There's a thing that happens when we first receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It requires that we yield. It's that first stage. After we get born again, it's that first stage of yielding to God. And that fire of the Holy Spirit comes in to be able to cleanse us. And it's that first stage of yielding. Let's look at another scripture in Malachi. We don't often go to the book of Malachi, but this has to do with the Spirit of God. Chapter 3, this is prophesying about Jesus coming. It says, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. Here again we see fire and washing both happening here. Verse 3, he will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. And here we can see that this cleansing that Jesus is bringing, this launderer's soap to get us clean and the refiner's fire, is to get us fit so that we can offer an offering in righteousness, that we can be acceptable in what we offer to God. When we offer ourselves to him, that we're offering a good sacrifice, a righteous sacrifice to God. Move over just a couple pages to Matthew chapter 3. Verses 11 and 12. This is the New Testament fulfilling of the scripture we just read. John says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Here we see where he says, I baptize you with water unto repentance. Here's a washing of water in baptism that was connected to repentance. When John came to prepare the way, the people were to repent. They were to turn from the things that they had been doing that weren't pleasing to God. They were to turn away from those deeds. And the baptism was a symbolic washing of repentance. So we can see that in this cleansing process of being cleaned by water and by fire, We have the repentance, which is a type of water that's the beginning of the cleansing. It's that beginning turning. We saw from one of the scriptures where it's actually the regeneration of being born again is again part of that work of the water and the cleansing to prepare us. And then also is the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire, which is to begin to burn up the stuff that doesn't belong, to purify. When it refers to metals, you know, you heat metals, you look at metal and it looks like metal, but you can heat it up and you burn that fire in it, and if there's anything mixed in there that you can't see with your naked eye, but mixed in there, it'll come to the surface. It'll come up to the top. It's called dross, so it can be scraped away so that that metal can be pure. Well, we're living in a real time of that purging and cleansing by fire. I mean, the washing of water with the Word has always been there. The Holy Spirit is always in there. But we are in a time when God is beautifying and cleansing, doing a thorough work. He can do it. He will do it at any time. But He has a purpose for these end times, that His body will be cleansed and pure. So the work is kind of stepped up. It can happen anytime anybody gets born again. Anybody can go through cleansing and washing of water and the cleansing by fire. They can be clean and pure. They can get all the stuff out of them. They can be clean and pure. But there is a corporate work going on where God is turning up the fire, pouring out the Word. He wants everything cleaned. Jesus is coming for a spotless bride, one without any blemishes or marks of any kind. He's coming for a pure bride. So we can see from these verses just the importance of cleansing. It was in the types and shadows of things that they did in the wilderness when they were there with the temple, and when they would recover things out of the enemy's hand, when it was brought into the kingdom of God as such, and for the use of God, it had to be cleansed. It was ceremonial cleansing as well as physical, natural cleansing. And we have the same things happen with us. We have ceremonial cleansings, but they're to represent actual physical, spiritual reality cleansing of our life. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. God wants us clean. Second Timothy chapter 2. Now, in these couple verses, there's a key for us in this process. It says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work." It says, in a great house, you've got vessels of gold and silver, but wood and clay. These are the two types that were mentioned in that numbers section of things that are, you know, that can only be cleansed with water, and those that can be cleansed with water and fire both. Call them gold, vessels of gold and silver and vessels of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Now, the thing about honor, honor means that something is precious, and it has reference to a fact that there's been a price paid. Jesus paid the ultimate price for us. There has been an extremely high price paid for us. So it was an honorable thing that such a price was paid for us. But our response to that price ought to be that we return that preciousness and that honor back to God. Now, and he's saying here in verse 21, if you cleanse yourself from the latter, and that latter he's talking about is listing of honor and dishonor. He says, if you cleanse yourself from the latter, you'll be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. We want to be a vessel of honor, of preciousness. that a price was paid for. We don't want to just be only acceptable for dishonorable things. I don't believe dishonorable here necessarily is a bad thing as such, where we would look at it as a bad thing sometimes in our language today, but it's just of lesser value in your ability to use it. It's just like, you know, there's just some things that you've just got to have metal to do things with, because you can't. Otherwise, whatever you're doing, if it requires fire, it'll burn up and you can't use it. So there's some vessels that if they're not purified and cleansed and sanctified and set apart for God, if there's not that thorough cleansing, there's just things, you can do things for God and you can serve God. It's not that you can't, but He wants us to be prepared for every good work, not just certain ones. God really isn't satisfied that you can only do certain tasks. He wants you to be able to do whatever needs to be done. Whatever. And everybody has different giftings and strengths and stuff, but we want to be clean so that God could use us in any circumstance. What if you're the only one in the room that God needs to use? You're the only one available. Well, the best thing, the honorable thing for us would be that we would be clean and vessels of honor that He could call on us to do anything. Even maybe something we've never done before. Maybe, you know, I don't know necessarily how God would see this on a scale of, you know, 1 to 10 or whatever, but maybe like raising the dead. You know, maybe you're the only one there when that person's died and God's telling you, raise them back up. Raise them back up. And you go, well, I've never done that before. But if we're cleansed and clean and set right with God, we could be used for that. It doesn't mean necessarily that you're going to go out and just raise everybody from the dead. You're going to go to all the funeral homes and work on everybody. But you could do it for that moment because you are prepared for every good work because you have been cleansed with water and fire. Both you can handle even the fire. You have had a deep cleaning. You can handle the deep cleaning. In 1 Peter 1:7, it tells us that our faith is tested by fire. In fact, I think I might maybe want to turn to that. I wasn't going to, but let me turn there. 1 Peter 1:7. It says that, you know, sometimes we have various trials and difficulties that we go through, but it says it's that the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold. So our faith is precious. Our faith has been bought with a price. Jesus has made it possible for us to have faith, and it's precious. It cost Him His life for us to be able to have the God kind of faith. It says, it's more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. God wants our faith to show forth honor, our faith to show forth that preciousness of what Jesus has paid for. The honor is to be all it can be. God wants us to just let our faith expand and develop and grow, that we are fit for every good work. We could do whatever is required because even our faith has been purged by fire. We have made it clean before God. Just a couple other verses. Just flip back to James. We're real close right there. James chapter 4, verse 8. In just dealing with this whole cleansing thing. I'm not going to share tonight so much about how, quote, to get cleansed. I want us to see more the necessity to be cleansed, to not be content to be dirty in our outward activities or in our heart. In James chapter 4, verse 8, he says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. We can see some things here about what he's dealing with when he says, draw near to God. The verse above that says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. So submitting to God, drawing near to God, is part of how we can be cleansed. It's part of the process. And he says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. When you cleanse your hands, it's not just washing your hands of dirt, it's of what you do. God wants us to be cleansed of the things that we do. He doesn't want us doing ungodly things, unrighteous things. He wants our actions to be cleansed, that we don't do anything that violates the law. We don't have to live by the letter of the law, but he doesn't want us to violate the law. If we're yielded to his spirit, we're not going to violate the law. We're not going to do those things. We're going to keep the Ten Commandments, those types of things. We're going to do that. So you got, by having your hands cleansed, is your outward life, having your actions cleansed and clean. And then he says, to purify your hearts, you double-minded. Part of the purifying of your heart is you have got to be single-minded towards God. You've got to be focused and centered on what pleases God. You can't just clean up the outside and not deal with what goes on the inside. And what goes on in the inside, we're going to be studying this sometime, probably by summertime at least, about our minds. But a lot of times, we kind of want to think of our heart as this place down here. I mean, we know it's not our actual blood pump, but, you know, our heart's our inner man. And we want to kind of separate it from what goes on up here. But what goes on up here is directly connected to what's here. So in order to purify your heart, you got to straighten this thing out. You got to make sure that it's going in the right direction, that it only goes in God's direction. It only holds thoughts that are God's thoughts. It gets those things straight. But here again, it's the cleansing. It's the cleansing outwardly. It's the cleansing inwardly. We can have cleansing with water. We can have cleansing with fire. But we need to be cleansed. We need to be cleaned up for the service of God. Go back just a couple more pages to Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 14, talking about ceremonial cleansing that took place with the sacrifices. But verse 14 talks about the blood of Jesus. It says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, Jesus was clean, he was clean inside and out, how much more will that blood cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Here again, we can see, you can call your conscience down in here in your gut, if that's where it gets to you, or you can call it, it's up in your head, whatever you want. I don't think the placement of it necessarily matters, but your conscience is set in a particular way. And you either have a conscience that remembers all your unworthiness and every wrong thing you've ever done and how you're not worthy to serve God and that, yeah, you're just a lousy old sinner saved by grace, that kind of stuff. Just thinking that, you know, that I know Jesus died for my sin, but yet you won't accept the fact that you're made righteous by his blood and by faith in his name. God wants to cleanse our conscience. He wants to get so deep in there that it even changes our conscience, changes us to the very core of our being. Not just out here, not just so we look pretty out here, but he wants to get clear into your very, very innermost being of where you really think about you, of who you really are, of how you see God, how you see you, how you see life, how you see having to obey God, whatever it might, how you see this, clear into your very conscience. He wants to purge us, get clear into there. He wants to clean deep. He wants to do that internal work in us. Now, let's go back over to 1 Peter. Chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. It says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. It says you've purified your souls in obeying the truth. Part of the process of purifying in our lives is obeying the word. You know, we talked earlier how the word is like water that will wash us. Our obedience to the word of God washes our soul. It cleanses us. It will get in and do a work in us as we obey God. It'll clean up our soul. But it says that you purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. Part of what we've got to make sure that we do is that we obey the word because we love. You can obey the word and not love God and not love people. You can, quote, obey it, but the real cleansing will come when you operate because you love. Not only obeying the word, the letter of the law as such, but when you allow God's love to control that and direct that and be your motivation for why you obey, then real cleansing can take place in your soul and you can be cleaned up through the word of God. Jesus showed us this. He went beyond simple obedience of the law and applied it to the motive and thoughts in your heart. He just dealt directly with even the Ten Commandments. He says, you've heard it said that you shouldn't commit adultery. But I'm telling you, if you even think about it, see, they had cleaned the outside. They stopped committing adultery outwardly. They weren't doing the deed. But Jesus said, but if you even think about it in your heart, it's the same thing. Jesus says, I'm coming to clean you thoroughly, inside and out. I don't want just the outside cleaned up. I want the inside cleaned up. I don't even want you thinking thoughts like that. We talk about, the soul, the mind, the double-mindedness. You know, he said, I don't even want your thoughts heading that way. I want you clean inside and out. And he said, you've heard that you shouldn't murder. Well, they weren't killing anybody. But yet he says, but if you call people names, if you call them a fool, if you just hate somebody just for no reason, it's the same as murder. You don't have to go out and shoot them. You don't have to kill them. You just have to think nasty thoughts. It's the same thing. And Jesus wants more than just good behavior out here. He wants clean hearts. And that's what that preciousness is. Jesus paid that price so that we could be clean inside and out, that we could be washed with the water of the word, that we could have the fire of the Spirit burn and purge and cleanse all those things out so that you don't have any of that junk on the inside. You're clean through and through. That when you've heard the saying probably before, when trouble squeezes you, what comes out? Do they get you get thorns or do you get the juice from the grapes? Because of what's on the inside. So Jesus even taught us these things. He's dealing with the whole person. He is not satisfied with good behavior. Good behavior is great, but if your heart's not right, it's not helpful. Good behavior can serve God somewhat for dishonorable things. And like I said, that's not dishonorable is not a bad word. But God wants us for the honorable work. He wants to be able to do things from deep within us to be able to impact people in a major way. You cannot impact people in a life-changing major way to impact their soul if you're not clean inside, if you're only clean outwardly. You've got to have the Holy Spirit alive on the inside of you and no junk in the way so that He can flow out of you. His power and His love and His grace and His mercy can flow out of you and actually change people's souls, change their lives, touch them in more than just doing something physical for them, which is a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. But God wants to go beyond that. He wants to be able to go beyond because He wanted to go beyond that with you. He wants to do more than just meet your physical needs. He wants to change you from the inside. He wants to make you fit for honorable service to God. Let's go to Titus again. Chapter 2 this time. Verse 11, we'll begin there, a familiar section of Scripture. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify Him for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. God wants us purified for Him. Sometimes we only want to get as pure as is necessary to satisfy us as to how other people will think of us or what other people might do or just how we'll be able to get along in the world, and how we behave. But God isn't satisfied with just that. God wants us purified for Him. He wants us purified to be able to do His works and that we would be zealous for those works. You can clean up your behavior on the outside and not have a zeal on the inside to really do the things of God. You can be good. I mean, there are people that are pretty moral on the outside, that try to live right, in a sense, and to do right by people and stuff. But God wants us zealous for the things of God. He wants that desire on the inside of us. And He bought us with a price so that we could be purified. He wants that internal cleansing that brings forth then the outward cleansing as well. Let's go to chapter 3. I heard this reference of John. That would be helpful, wouldn't it? Chapter 3 of John, we heard this reference this morning in the message. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. Jesus answered Nicodemus and He said, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to Him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Here again, we see this same reference of purification, of washing of water and fire. The water and the Spirit. And Jesus is saying, this is necessary for you not only to see, but to enter the kingdom of God. He says, you got to be born again. You've got to have that initial washing of regeneration, that initial new birth. You've got to have that in order to see the kingdom of God. That's just to see, just to start getting a vision of it. And then He says, but unless you're born of water and the Spirit, if you don't get the fire of the Holy Spirit to move in you and to purge you and to cleanse you, to clean you up inside and out, you can't enter into the kingdom. You can see what's there. You can see what's available, but God wants us to enter in and to be able to enjoy and experience what's available in the kingdom, not just know about what's there. And in a lot of ways, we know a lot about what's there in the kingdom of God. We know a lot of things. We can quote scriptures. I mean, some of us that have been in Word a long time, we know gobs of scriptures. We know lots of truth. I mean, whether we can give you chapter and verse on them, but we know what the book says. So we know a lot of things, but Jesus doesn't want us just to see them. He wants us to enter in and to experience those things. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says that he wants to set us, sanctify us, and set us apart, spirit, soul, and body, that we would be preserved blameless. He wants us to enter in spirit, soul, and body to everything that God has. Don't be content to be just washed with the new birth and just be born again. Don't be satisfied with that. Let that whole cleansing take place. Let that water of the Word and the fire of the Spirit not only clean up all the outside stuff, but clean up all the inside stuff. Clean up the conscience. Clean up the thought life. Clean up the intents of our heart, that we could be thoroughly clean, thoroughly equipped for every good work, be useful for God, be zealous for God, be able to do whatever He would require of us at any time, that we would be fit and ready for the service of God, because that is our honorable thing to give back to God, because He's paid such a price for it. It's an honorable thing for us to do that. Romans 12:1 says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is, in a nutshell, the whole thing, because then it even then goes on, you know, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're going to get into these things in the months ahead. We're going to get into these kind of things. God wants us to be holy and acceptable to Him, to be a living sacrifice, not one that just burns on the altar and burns up, but He wants us washed and heated up with the fire, that we are so cleansed that we're a living sacrifice. We don't have to burn up, but that our whole life is a sacrifice. Our whole life is a pleasing sacrifice. And it goes on, don't be conformed to the world. Renew your mind. Let this cleansing work in every area. Let it work into your mind so that you are completely transformed, that you become cleansed inside and out, which makes you so completely different than everybody else. Anybody that's clean inside and out and serving God is so different than just any other person, because it's the life of God in us. A couple other verses I'm just going to share real quickly, and then we'll close. In Luke chapter 1, this is what John the Baptist's father prophesied after John was born and he got his voice back and could speak. Verses 74 and 75, he's telling all that's going to be taking place and about God's redeeming His people, and it's even about John and what his part's going to be in it. But 74 and 75, he says, this is what God swore to Abraham to do, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. This is just like what Numbers was talking about. Now, I know Numbers was talking about just stuff that they had got, you know, as booty from the battle. But we've been delivered from the hand of our enemies. We have been delivered from the hand of Satan. God has redeemed us through the blood of Jesus so that we can serve Him in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. He's redeemed us and wants to cleanse us thoroughly, that we can just serve Him to the uttermost. But it's the whole process of what's necessary when something is taken back out of the hand of the enemy, the cleansing and making us fit for the service of God. The last scripture I'm going to share is 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 1, it says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. This is just the whole point of what we could see this evening, of the necessity that we let the water of the Word and the fire of the Spirit cleanse us, that we become fully clean, that we let God have so much avenue and access into our lives that if there's the least tiny little speck anywhere in our conscience or our mind or our body or our actions or our thoughts or ideas or whatever, that He would be able to purge us thoroughly, that the fire of the Spirit would burn in us and bring those things to the top. And it's all going to come by constantly applying the Word of God and yielding to the work and the voice of the Holy Spirit. I mean, that is the thing. And everybody has different things that they need cleansed of that have been there from birth for however, just from the sin nature that is in us. A lot of times there's stuff that's just been there since we were born that needs to change because it's just how we were trained when we grew up, and things that need to line up with God. But if we will just yield ourselves to the Word, if we will obey the Word, if because we love God, if we'll obey the Word, it will cause cleansing. It'll cause it not only from a natural standpoint, because when you get born again and start serving God and seeking to obey what God tells you, you change without even really thinking about it. It's just the process that takes place. Some of it is almost an unconscious kind of thing. It's just as you begin to yield to God, you just change. You know, one day you realize, gee, I don't have this temper issue anymore. Gee, I just really love everybody. You know, I just don't have issues with people like I used to. It's just a natural process. It's not something necessarily that you've had to go after in order to fix. But there's some things that you're going to have to go after. There's some things in our souls and down inside of us that are just buried in there, and we're going to have to let the fire of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God have access to those places. And it comes by just going before God. You know, David said to God, you know, try me, test me, see if there's anything in there, because I want everything I think, everything I say, I want it to be what you want, God. I want it to be clean and pure. So it's a matter of just inviting God to come in. I mean, He can clean to a certain extent, but for those real deep areas, there's got to be a continual yielding, a continual going there. It's sort of like the prayer that we prayed today at the end of service, of just that continual rededication of just, God, you know, just open my eyes. If I got some deceit messed up in there, if I'm deceived on a couple, God, show me. And He'll show us. He'll bring those things up. He'll show us whatever it is we need to know. Or if there's something, maybe there's an attitude in us, or maybe there's just a wound or a problem in us that needs dealt with that He wants to get to. But it takes us opening up and yielding to let the fire in, to let the water in, to just keep washing over those places and burning out all the junk, cleansing and washing, maybe burn and then wash, burn and then wash, till everything gets completely clean, that we can just be spotless before God, that we can be so useful for His work, and that we would be so cleansed that we would be honorable vessels, vessels that God could use for anything, at any time, prepared and zealous, ready to do whatever good work it would be, ready to do, and willing. Even I think about, we've had some teaching on prosperity, and there's a lot more out there than what we've actually had, but we talk about, you know, a lot of times we'll get content as long as our needs are met. As long as we're prospering and our needs are met, our bills are paid, everything's kind of okay, we get content with that. But you have to pursue wanting more to come in so that you can give more out. You know, a lot of times we have a barrier in there that just says, well, this is enough, I'm happy, you know, man, God's just blessed us, I'm just happy. But if we want to go on, We've got to pursue God more. We've got to pursue His Word more. We've got to let Him come in and say, okay, what do I need to change, or what do I need to do to let this develop in me so that I can receive more, that, you know, that my faith can bring more in, so I can give more out, so I can do greater things. It's like, praise God for the things that we've been able to do and to bless people in the kingdom of God. You know, we just recently had the offering for Haiti, and praise God for what we were able to send to bless them. But if we want to do more, we've got to expand. We've got to be able to accomplish more. And it'll take opening up and pursuing God, you know, drawing near to God and letting Him draw near to us to find out what it's going to take. Drawing near in His Word, feet, letting the Word wash us so we can find out how we can improve so that we can do even more. So that we could do twice as much the next time, or 10 times as much the next time. Whatever, that we can do all that God has called us to do. Amen? So you're going to present yourselves to God, right? You're going to let Him cleanse you. You're going to let that water wash you and that fire burn in you. Praise God, we're going to be clean. Let's stand up. Praise You, Father. Glory to You, God. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that Your Word and Your Spirit are such marvelous things. That's not a good word, Father. I don't like it being, just seems so simple and not good enough for You. But God, Your Word and Your Spirit are so marvelous of what they can do, that they can get into our hearts and our souls and our bodies and literally change us, cleanse us, not only get rid of sin, but get rid of sickness and disease, get rid of attitudes and thoughts and ideas that don't match You, so that we can be clean and perfect just like Jesus. He offered Himself up as a perfect sacrifice to You. And Father, we can do that as well. We can offer ourselves up as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to You, if we'll just let Your Word and Your Spirit do the work in us. Oh, it is so marvelous, God. Your Spirit is life to us, but yet it can burn out stuff. He can speak to us. He can lead us and guide us. Your Word can give us direction and instruction. And yet Your Word can go in and literally transform us and cause things in this realm to change, to line up with the spirit realm. What awesome, awesome qualities You have given us to be changed and made like Jesus. Father, thank You for cleansing us. Thank You, Father, for giving us the tools that we need so that we can offer ourselves up to You for honorable service, for everything that You desire for us to do. We just thank You and praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.